joining us today on this momentous occasion of the 100th Pintcast is, as always, Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club, and James of Gunnerblog, who you can follow at Gunnerblog. Welcome, James.
Hey, man. It's good to be here. I didn't realize that it was such an auspicious occasion.
Yeah, it just happened to come along at that time, but it seems like the right day to have you on as you're out here with us enjoying the California sunshine, although you did bring a little bit of rain today.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It follows me everywhere.
We need it. We need a little bit of that.
Yeah, so, we need a little bit before.
So trust me, we could use some.
Okay, cool. But, I'll come back in that case.
Yeah, you're always welcome back. Bring a little bit of rain. Just make sure it translates into snow in the mountains nearby, because we do not have nearly enough of that.
Okay. I saw some snow today up in a mountain. I'm in Palm Springs, and I went up like a cable car type thing.
Oh, yeah.
Blew my mind, yeah. Snow, so near. Amazing, the range of climates I've witnessed.
Yeah, that's in a small area, too. They get that snow up there. It gets pretty cold up there on top of there.
Yeah. It's like 20 degrees colder up there.
I have a few friends who have been proud to brag about being able to do, you know, surf in the morning, snowboard during the day, and make it down and do something else, you know, back again. You know, surf twice in a day while mixing it up and going to the snow. So
that's pretty cool, yeah.
Quite fortunate for them. But we have a lot of exciting stuff to talk about in regards to our mighty Arsenal. It was a momentous weekend in the FA Cup. A Saturday that we could all enjoy. An upset Saturday. Joseph, what was your favorite result from Saturday?
Chelsea was my favorite result. Just because, it's been talked about, but just the quotes and the I don't know, Mourinho's normal attitude towards everything. And so for the headlines basically wrote themselves, which was fantastic. So, you know, for him to say it would be a disgrace for them to lose, and then they end up taking a two-nil lead and then throw it away and then collapse. I mean, that's a Arsenal-esque collapse.
of such Arsenal proportions. I mean, to do something like that, I mean, you take that result and, you know, you wouldn't expect anyone to do that at Stamford Bridge.
No.
You know, let alone a championship team. James, I'm sure you enjoyed that. I don't know if you sent any messages to your brother.
Yeah, my brother's a Chelsea fan. He was at the game, actually.
He
was sort of like texting me updates, you know, as it was going along. And, you know, there was 2-0, got back to 2-1. I was like, oh, that's nice for Bradford. They've got a goal. Then it got to 2-2, and I was like, well, that's quite funny. That, you know, that's quite amusing. And then when they actually went ahead, I just was in complete disbelief. And especially when you add in all the other results, it was kind of a perfect storm. You know, all these different teams going out. I mean, who was it? Spurs went out to Leicester. City, of course, against Middlesbrough. But nothing beats that Chelsea result. Just because, as Joseph said, Mourinho set it up, didn't he? He said, like, if we lose, it's a disgrace or something like that. And then they went ahead and did it. Just really pleased to see that actually take place.
Whenever you get a chance to see Mourinho eat crow, it's a fantastic, fantastic occasion.
It doesn't happen nearly enough, but yes, it's fun.
But I love how he covers it up. I mean, in the sense that, like, you know, Mourinho has these games he plays, you know, with the media. And you see him, you know, he's recently been shunning the media after his mouth got him into trouble. You have a situation like this where, you know, he makes these gestures after, right? Apparently there was someone reported that he had tried to shake his hand before the match was over, right? The opposing managers. I don't know if that was ever verified. I didn't see that, but you see Mourinho, you know, going to congratulate the other team in the dressing room. This act, you know, of, I don't know, trying to play it down. It's just funny how he does it. He has his different little agenda, and the way he caters and plays to this and tries to downplay his team's performance. Because really, I mean, any team losing a 2-0 lead at home is a catastrophic performance. You look at the difference, you know, the difference in league and position. It was rather amazing.
It does seem like much more like something that we would do. So it's, yeah. it's really funny to see it happen to someone else.
Yeah.
What I like was, you know, we all enjoyed it because I screamed when Middlesbrough put the second goal in, especially because it was such a calamity by the City defense. But I like, especially with, you know, our supporters on Twitter at least, and it goes from that's great, and then immediately worrying about how we're going to do the next day. and many people not wanting to celebrate too much because they're so worried about, you know, how we would perform the next day.
Yeah, I tweeted being like, you know, isn't this great or whatever, and I had just strings of replies of people saying, don't say anything yet, don't jinx it, you can't celebrate. And I was like, well, the very fact that we're worried about it means we should enjoy this while we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, and that's the thing. If we can't enjoy it the day of, I mean, what can we enjoy? It's the small things, you know. And we understand that when, you know, when we fuck up, you know, we're going to have to eat it. You know,
yeah.
You're going to have to eat shit when that happens. But, you know, so be it. I actually took the liberties of, since we didn't play early, I actually stayed in bed. Didn't wake up until, say, midway through the second halves of these, which is out here, there were 7 a.m. fixtures. And I'm laying in bed. I'm like, I should get up and get to the TV and see what's going on at the end of the FA Cup. And I just go to my phone and check Twitter. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, why is it updated to only 10 minutes prior, like when I updated my stream? And there are just so many tweets. And all of a sudden, I just skipped to the front to see what was going on. I had to jump out of bed because apparently Bradford had equalized. And there was that minute of everyone scoring, right? Spurs conceded 2 in like 5 minutes or a couple minutes. It was like there was that little moment where everything was changing, and I woke up to see that on Twitter and was like, shit, I got to get my ass in front of the TV to see what is happening.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was great. I got to catch those last 10 minutes.
It was just one of those like weird days where like everything seemed to go our way. And, you know, I think you've got to relish that when that comes around, because it's funny enough, like the weekend before, like prior, I think the day before the City game, was one of those days where every result we wanted to go in our favor didn't. You know, all the teams right. around us seemed to win. It was actually a really bad weekend for us in terms of results before the City match.
Right, of course.
And then this weekend, complete turnaround. Just, you know, one of those things.
Yeah. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I'd probably prefer it would be the other way around. To where, I mean, it's great because of who it's eliminated in the cup, but I still have that eye on the league always, and everyone else dropping points would really make me happier. But beggars cannot be choosers, so I will relish the weekend and enjoy that.
And I guess, like, I don't know, the league, I agree with you, like, the league's always where my focus is, but I kind of feel like, you know, we're not going to win it, are we? So it's sort of like we're only playing for that top four. So I think now with the FA Cup, like, we've got to have a really good chance, haven't we? I mean, I think we must be the favorites in terms of the teams left in it.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, right up there with, we'll see if Manchester United make it through, but, you know, it'll be Manchester United, Liverpool, and Arsenal, you know, as holders and as those, you know, you have to put us at the very least co-favorites for the tournament. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to like those odds, looking at who's been left, looking at the draw. You know, we were drawn against Middlesbrough at home, so we get to show City how it's done, how to put away lower league opposition. By no means will that necessarily be an easy fixture, as Middlesbrough are playing very well in the championship. But let's get over to our match against Brighton. Joseph, it was quite the start for you. Did you make it 2 whole minutes without blowing your wad?
I was really excited, but I made it through. I mean, it was all right. I didn't have to change my shorts or anything. But
your boy.
But I was really happy. I mean, that's a Theo goal. I mean, right? Didn't have to think too much. You know, makes a move and puts it away, and if he gets that, if he's going to be that close to the keeper and has a shot on goal, not many keepers are going to get down quick enough to block a shot from Theo because he has such pace coming off the ball. So it was pretty exciting.
I think there's a lot of credit to be given to him for that first touch he took, because the way I quickly, you know, set it up and turned, I think had a lot to do with the fact that he's able to get that shot still so close to the keeper but past him, you know, because he had no time to get down. I think he has to get a lot of credit for that. You know, another thing that we look at it with Mesut's goal, right? I mean, he also had a quick touch. I think, James, you commented on that on the Arscast Extra.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But I think you're right to pick up on it from Theo, because in a way we expect that from Ozil, that level of, you know, technique.
Right.
But from Theo, I don't know, he doesn't get as much credit for that sometimes. I think inside the penalty box, he's actually really, really efficient. And with Podolski gone, he's got to be one of the best finishers left.
Yeah, I mean, I wish Chamberlain could.
Club, I think you'd have Alexis up there.
Yeah, yeah, Alexis definitely.
That's
would
the one. That's the one thing he hasn't got. That's the one thing Chamberlain, I think, lacks. You know, is, well, it's weird. He's got great shooting technique, but he just doesn't score enough goals. Chamberlain.
Right. Yeah, you can see he can really put his boot through the ball, but yeah, the accuracy is just not quite there yet.
I
broached that subject to Joseph just because I was thinking, you know, well, when Chamberlain finds his shot, you know, what's going to be the difference between him and Walcott? Mm. But, you know, Walcott's really shown, you know, that killer instinct in front of goal, which is hugely important, you know, for a predatory striker to really find, you know, find a way to find the back of the net. Joseph, what would you gauge, though, the rest of his performance? Because I felt we had a bit of a mixed bag from Theo.
Yeah, I've got – I mean, one of the things that I noted from that match was just besides the goal by him and Ozil, I just didn't like the way we played as the match went on with those two. It just – you know, and maybe it's just the fact that they scored coming out, you know, in the second half. But it just – some of that – I don't know. I don't know if it's – it's not their effort. It's just, you know, Theo doesn't – you know, he'll get back to help defend, but he doesn't ever seem to be in the right spot to begin with when we don't have the ball. So, I mean, I didn't think he had a great performance, but, you know, he needs to be, you know, in on goal. So I don't know if that's just but he didn't get there very often beyond that first 2 minutes, it didn't seem like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a bit of a mixed bag. You know, I think my biggest memory of him from the match was yelling at him. We had five players on the counterattack, and he dribbles straight into the box and then gets dispossessed. And you're just like, yeah. Oh, man, like, you really need to do something better with that if you're not going to pass in that situation.
Yeah, we had a bunch of that, though. I mean, I think Agpom did the same thing, and Theo did the same thing. I think even Ozil a couple of times didn't pull the trigger quick enough. So,
I think there's something interesting to be said about that, because also, like, specifically with Akpom, I mean, he certainly could have passed to Alexis a couple times, but, you know, something that's been a criticism that's been levied at Arsenal many a time over the past few years is that, you know, they're not selfish enough in front of goal. And, you know, I think Chuba's really just trying to, you know, get that first Arsenal goal and really wants to impress, and a little bit of selfishness that, you know, isn't necessarily the worst thing.
Yeah, he was a man on a mission, I thought. You know, he wasn't going to pass to anybody if there was any, just even the slightest chance of a goal. And you can understand that, a young kid, you know, what is he, 19, coming into the team, he knows he's got to make his mark if he wants to get another chance. So I've got a little bit of sympathy for him. Walcott, I thought, you know, there was a little bit of indecision that could be rustiness, but I think that those moments of hesitation have always been present in his game.
Yeah,
as we've already said, he's at his best when he's instinctive. He's at his best when he's presented with a chance in front of goal. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how Arsene Wenger sort of seeks to use him, because we've been playing with Alexis and Ox on the wings, and I think they've got better all-round games than Walcott. You know, they offer you more going back. They offer you more sort of interplaying with other players. So it'll be interesting to see if he thinks we can afford Walcott on that right-hand side. I don't know. I think he might have to play a sort of super sub role for the next few games, certainly.
I think you're right on that. I think I have it's the same feeling, just as I was thinking about how much more comfortable we look as a team with those two, you know, on the left and the right, and even compared to what Theo gives us all the time, not just in his first match back. But
I think the fluidity of the way our attacking players can kind of flow and interchange is a lot better with Oxlade-Chamberlain out there. There's just that different bit of technique on the ball, and they really don't seem to have any issue kind of floating in and out between different places. I think we see that a lot when Rzycki plays. You know, shout out to him. Obviously, he had a fantastic match. You know, certainly a case we made for his best match of the season. Certainly based on the results and the statistics. But you know, you see when they're all out there on the pitch, there is a fluidity to the game that we would see in the past year when Lukas Podolski got out there. He didn't seem to fit that same kind of passing and movement game. You know, it didn't flow in that same way, and it seems choppy. You know, it's stop start, quick little sprints. Yeah, Theo's not kind of gliding in and out of movement in the same way that they do. So it'll be interesting to see how he integrates in. I mean, you know, he was so effective as a super sub for so long in his career for Arsenal. Whether or not that's something he's willing to settle for now is a whole other story, and then we can get to his contract. So, so you know, interesting times ahead with that, and we'll see how he integrates. But seeing him score a goal is always a good thing, and you know, we got him back, you know, at least venturing into the right direction in terms of form. So, you know, on the day you have guys like Mesut Ozil and Theo score, which for anyone you know could say that's a great return for us. And then you have Rzycki coming in with quite the blinder of a goal, showing off the silky skills.
That no look pass was fun.
I mean, but how many of those were there in the match? You know, that, there were countless. I mean, I don't know how many times he was doing it. It seemed like that was the rule. Once we got it, went 2-0 up, it was like as if that was the handicap for Brighton. It was like, he's like, okay, now I can't look at any pass I make from here on out.
Yeah, it was a bit like he had a bet on, wasn't it, with someone in the Arsenal team, you know. How many of these can you pull off in a single game? You know,
and how many other players can make up for the fact that they don't have a left foot the way Rizicky does? Because he doesn't care. Like, no, he hits it with as much culture with the outside of his foot as he does with the inside. Which,
yeah, Ricardo Quaresma was always like that, I remember. He was always, you know, Rabona's an outside of the foot. But, yeah, Rizicky, I don't think I've ever seen him hit the ball with his left foot. It's his last resort. He'll never go to it.
Yeah, as one-sided as they come. And it's usually not the case with a right-footed player, but... You know,
but see, like Wilshere's the same, but with his left, you know. But he doesn't seem to have the same flexibility that Rizicky's got in terms of, you know, you don't see Wilshere playing the ball with the same finesse with the outside of his foot. It's a pretty special skill.
It is, and it's a very rare skill. I mean, growing up playing football, you don't come across too many people that can play a ball like that so well. I mean, I think there's been a little influence of that on Ramsey because Ramsey tries to pull it off quite often, but he does not succeed by anywhere near the same rate that Rizicky does at that same type of move. Speaking of which, you know, Ramsey was out there, had an okay match, I suppose. You know, it wasn't really glamorous one way or the other. You know, I think he was kind of – he's working his way back into form. I don't know if you do hear anything else about the injury. I mean, it looked like he just took a knock, but he ran it off by the end of the match.
Yeah, one of the strangest limps I've ever seen. He was really moving in a weird way.
Yeah, he was all herky-jerky. I did not know what was up with that.
I think he's okay. I didn't hear anything more about it.
Yeah, less hurt on that front, the better, I would say at the moment.
Yeah, you always worry, don't you? He's got that imploding thigh, you know, that just keeps... giving up on him.
Yeah, and that's troublesome. You know, we really don't want to see any more of that. We have way too many injury-prone midfielders with dodgy muscles as it is. We did see a return of Mr. Flamini in the midfield, who I think garnered a lot of attention on Twitter and worldwide. But just because, you know, we've been getting a taste of of Coquelin in the midfield for the past few weeks or so, and he's really put in a good shift and led a lot of people to ask, well, what is it that he brings, you know, or was it that Flamini brings more than he does? And it's becoming more and more evident that it looks like there isn't a whole lot. Joseph, what were your thoughts on Flamini?
I'm just wondering if Coquelin can start the next 20 possible fixtures without any rest for the rest of the year. I mean, he hasn't really played that much. I mean, four games. I mean, can he go twice a week for the rest of the year? I'm not sure, but I'd like to give it a shot because it really didn't stand out to me in the other matches, maybe just because we hadn't seen enough of Coquelin, but just when Coquelin came in, he was there, you know, and Flamini was out of position and pulled all over the place all match.
James, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think Flamini was coming in for a lot of criticism before Christmas, but I think
certainly
the form of Coquelin has put it into even harsher relief. And I think that seeing him come back in the side and have a pretty poor performance. I thought he was at fault on the goal. Potentially he was turned very, very easily.
Yeah.
But I think more than that, he just didn't impose himself on the game at all. And if there was any doubt that Francis Coquelin had jumped ahead of him in the pecking order, I think that doubt disappeared at Brighton. And Jason's right. As soon as Coquelin came on, his impact was immediate. I think there was one slide tackle in particular, which just really asserted him in the game, and he's playing out of his skin, to be honest. I'll be honest, like, I was a skeptic of Coquelin, but I've been won over by his performances. He's been outstanding in the last few weeks, and I think the less we see of Flamini, the better, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's the best case for all parties. You know, there's one aspect. I mean, obviously the way he's able to impose himself on the match has been really big. His added athleticism, you know, just the one of the biggest issues for me from what I've seen from that position, whether it have been Flamini or even, I mean, I can hardly remember what Arteta looks like in an Arsenal kit, now. It's the curse of the captaincy or something. But, you know, like there's that lack of athleticism and pace. You know, Coquelin is by no means the fastest player on the pitch, but you don't see him getting beat to balls that, you know, that he should be winning first. And I think I've felt like I've seen that quite regularly with Flamini and Arteta. And so with that all taken into consideration, then I look at the range of passing that we get from Flamini in a match, I guess the weekend, and they're really, it's really poor in terms of the level of what he offers, you know, in terms of being able to find an incisive pass. Cause there's times that, you know, these players don't focus primarily on getting forward and finding that through ball or that, you know, incisive pass, but they do get presented with a situation on occasion. And it's great if they have that in their arsenal. And the guy like Flamini, you know, takes a potential attack and turns around and gives a Danielson crab pass. You know, it's a problem. And you see that, you know, we get that with Arteta, a guy who can play a good pass. You know, I would say Coquelin's not nearly on that level, but he has shown some creativity and some able to play some quite, you know, decisive balls through for some of the players to run onto.
Yeah, he's quick enough to get around somebody too, you know, and get away from danger and then quickly get rid of the ball. You know, and Flamini, if he gets caught on the ball, we're kind of screwed.
And that's happened a lot. You know, the phantom dummy from earlier in the season was one that left me perplexed.
Yeah, that's a really good point about Coquelin. Like, he's got quite good feet, to be honest, in a tight space. And that's really important in that part of the pitch. You know, if he comes under pressure, he can dribble between a couple of players, get away, and start a counter-attack. Flamini, he just can't do that. You know, he's going backwards or sideways, but he's not got the ability to escape from pressure in the same way. So Coquelin makes us a much more dynamic team. And I really hope he can stay fit, because the loss of Arteta to that surgery is massive otherwise, you know.
Yeah, and certainly a severe blow to us in the midfield. And, you know, looking at the depth charts, I mean, you look at what we've needed in this transfer window. You know, I think you've been quite frank about your assessment as to how much we would spend, James. But, you know, none of us were quite confident in the fact that Arsenal would go out and sign a ready-made defensive midfielder. You know, if we took a punt on whether it'd be a ready-made defensive midfielder or a, you know, 16, 17-year-old from Poland, we you know where all of us would have sided, and we would have been correct, because that's the kind of signing we made. But it seems as though the imminent need has been slightly lessened by the emergence from Francis Coquelin, and hopefully it continues, because, you know, as we've seen, there's a limited skill set that Flamini brings. You know, and it's good enough for a Premiership midfielder. I don't think it should be good enough for an Arsenal midfielder. And, you know, and we'd love to see him get a chance to kick on. You know, hopefully negotiations can go smoothly. It looks like Coquelin probably has earned himself a bit of a raise with, you know, in quite a short span of time. You would think that he'd be offered a pretty decent deal considering he can walk on a Bosman. So interesting to see how that develops. I'd really like to see that come to fruition, because he looks like a guy who can give us a decent option going forward. Just final thoughts on the match. What did you guys think about the goals we conceded? I'm going to go to you, James. And whether what kind of bearing that had on Wojciech Szczesny's future? Because, you know, the point that you were making earlier today, you know, he's got quite a terrible goal to shots face ratio.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a statistician, so annoyingly, I don't have that number to hand, but I know it was bad before Brighton, and it's only going to be worse now. Like, you know, there are very few goalkeepers who have such a poor shot-to-goal ratio. I don't know what that's about, though. You know, it's not like he's letting them in through his legs, you know.
Right.
I think it's got to be to do with the kinds of chances that we give away, the kinds of positions he's exposed to, essentially. But when Szczesny was first dropped, I thought he'd be back pretty soon. I thought this was a short, sharp shock to refocus him that we've seen in the past. You know, we saw in 2013 when he was dropped for the Bayern game and Fabianski picked up an injury, he came back in pretty soon. I envisaged him maybe coming back in for Brighton and probably keeping his place for Villa. I think I was wrong about that. And, you know, that's partly because Ospina's been pretty solid, although he hasn't been very tested. He's kept 3 clean sheets. And it's also that Szczesny just didn't quite do enough. I don't know what I was looking for from it, Brighton, but he didn't produce it. And I think he'll be back on the bench now.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, because I'm in a similar sense. Like, I thought that he'd do enough to come back. But it's kind of similar because, like you said, we didn't see enough from him. But you know, he got kind of left stranded in a couple chances with goals that, you know, I wouldn't fault to him.
Yeah, it's unfair in a way. I couldn't really say he did anything wrong.
But then, even in a similar fashion, I mean, obviously Ospina, you know, got a clean sheet against Manchester City. But would you say he did a lot in that match? I mean, he looked assured in what he did, but I think it's been a bit fortuitous in the sense of the fixtures he's had. He hasn't been tested that much. We haven't seen Ospina pushed to his limits, I would say. I think that's a fair assessment in terms of...
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think he's barely had to make a significant save. But the only thing I can think is that coincidence? Is it coincidence that we've defended better and faced less chances with Ospina in there? Is he exerting some kind of influence that Chesney isn't? I don't know, because it's a very hard thing to pin down. But what I do think is that having put him in, I cannot see a reason now to take him out. I think right. I think he'll stay there for the foreseeable future. I don't know. What about you, Joseph? What do you think?
Yeah. Well, my problem with Wojciech's performance this weekend was not the goals, because I mean, that one, you know. One, the Chambers that didn't jump for the header to clear it?
Yeah.
And then the other one, I think Monreal got turned, but I don't remember if that's because Flamini left it wide open for him or not. But I didn't think the goals were particularly his fault. But the part that I had a big problem with was with about, you know, between the 85th minute and the end of the match, we're under a lot of pressure and the ball gets to him in his hands. And instead of bouncing the ball up and down for 30 seconds and allowing for our forwards to go forward.
They're only allowed 6 seconds, Joseph.
Yeah, right. Instead of taking 30 seconds to take a little bit of the pressure off and to let the defense, the midfield get organized, he gets the ball out. And it was at least three times, and it might have been four, where he did that between the 85th and the end of the match, and it drove me crazy. I was swearing, and Joaquin was telling me to calm down a little bit, but I wouldn't, so...
There were a couple where he threw it to guys who were like, you know, under pressure as well. That's a habit he's had for a long time.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, I just think that, you know, is the goalkeeping coach doesn't review any video with him? It's like this one thing would have made a difference. I mean, it would have just taken the pressure off. I mean, no one was ready for that ball when he got it out early, because we couldn't hold on to it. Yeah. We couldn't. By the time we tried to get it forward, we lost the ball in midfield each of those times. So
it's really hard, because I actually really like Chesney. I think he's got all the tools. You know, I think potentially he is a great goalkeeper. I think he's probably the best goalkeeper at the club. But having dropped him, you know, Arsene Wenger kind of needs a reason to bring him back, and I'm not sure the circumstances are right.
I think that match was the match. You know, if he'd have done, if he'd have done okay, and we'd have kept a clean sheet, maybe he would have, you know, something to go ahead and put him back in. But
yeah,
I think you're right. I don't think he can drop a Ospina. I mean, he can, but I just don't see why he would.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like he would. It'd be really tough for Ospina's confidence, and like, how does he justify it? You know, he went out and did his best to, you know, handled everything that's been thrown at him, and he's been getting the results. So until that changes, or he gets injured, which has happened a lot since he's been here, you know, and you know, here's the thing: Chesney tends to have pretty good luck with keepers getting injured around it. I mean, who knows what kind of, you know, Polish voodoo he's got on them, but you know, it's worked out. He'll get another chance to play this season. He'll get another run at some point for one reason or another.
I don't know. Ospina's very smart. His I don't know if it's his wife or his girlfriend or whatever had their kid midweek, so he'd be ready for the weekend. So
that's great of her.
Maybe Chesney will finally get to play in the FA Cup final. You never know.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that'll be an interesting turn of events, and he'll become the cup keeper. I mean, really, if you look at it, like, you would say now, you would think his next start is likely to come against Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I think so.
We have what, two or three league fixtures between now and then? You know, so a couple league fixtures, and then there we go, and then we'll be back in the cup. And yeah, that'll probably be the next time we see him, unless something happens to Spina in the meantime. But overall, your guys' thoughts on the result? Pretty happy with which or not. I mean, obviously, I mean, not.
We're through. It's fine.
We're through. It's not a giant killing. But I thought the fluency, like, I thought it was a very comfortable first half. I thought we looked quite solid and comfortable on the ball. I mean, it certainly turned a bit of a different event in the second half. But, I mean, results are results. I mean, that's what we're going for right now.
It was a nice three goals. I mean, if you put those together in a nice little highlight reel, those were three quality goals.
Yeah. Those are going to be nice ones to add to the year-end compilation, right?
Yeah, they were great goals, yeah. And, you know, lots of positives. I think Ozil scoring is great. Walcott scoring is great. I think the fact that the scoreline was so close shows you how dangerous it is to go away from home in the FA Cup. I do think that pretty much, although City and Chelsea both lost at home, generally going away from home is the big risk. And that's why I'm just so delighted that we've got a home draw in the next round. Yeah.
And then it's a fantastic draw for us. Like you said, Middlesbrough are high flyers in the championship, but a championship side nonetheless. Joseph, do you have the rest of the FA Cup draw handy?
Yeah, we've got Palace against either Liverpool or Bolton, and then ours, then Villa and Leicester, West Brom and West Ham. So I tweeted that earlier. Should be just an epic battle for those two managers that can't stand. And then you got Bradford and Sunderland or Fulham, Blackburn, and was it Stoke who won today?
That was Stoke who won today, yeah.
Yeah. They won tonight, yeah.
Yeah, and then Derby and Reading and Preston North End or Sheffield, that one, and or Man United, against Man United probably. If they can get by the mighty Cambridge.
If they can handle that at home at Old Trafford.
So I think Palace have got a pretty good chance of knocking Liverpool out. They've beaten them twice in the last couple of years, haven't they, at home, I think?
Yeah, they had that great result at the end of last season.
And that's at home for Palace, so
yeah,
that should be fun.
And yeah. Sonogo and Chamakh are firing.
Right.
So anything's possible.
The ex-Arsenal squad coming up with three goals, right? I believe Sonogo had one and
Chamakh
with two. What was this for Sonogo?
Their three goals are the antithesis of our three goals, by the way.
They really are. That's exactly why they're probably out. Well,
it's great because I heard Sonogo had scored, and I was, you know, obviously amazed by this news. And then when I eventually saw it, you know, I mean, obviously he does score, but primarily what he does is smash the ball in someone's face.
I'm not sure that goal's even going on frame if it doesn't hit that guy's face.
There's a great tweet from the official Crystal Palace account, which I saw, which just said, free kick, Sonogo fires over. And I was like, how are they letting him take their free kick?
Right. Well, because it was between him and Chamakh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine those two arguing over the ball?
Man, that's fucking hilarious.
Listen, I hope he does well. I hope he does well. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it'd be great. It'd be a great story if he could... if he could knock Liverpool out for us.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. That would be quite the fantastic work by Aloni, and that would be be great. We'll see what they do against Bolton, though. You know, Bolton looked like a tough side, put up a resilient battle against them at the weekend. But more than likely, we'll be seeing Liverpool and Manchester United through. They will now be co-favorites alongside Arsenal for the tournament.
Well, they have.
What was that?
Well.
One more time. What was that, James?
Okay. Oh, don't worry. I was just saying that Liverpool. Hello.
Yeah.
Was just saying that Bolton have got a potential idol for Yaya Sonogo in the form of Emil Heskey.
Oh, exactly.
They did have Heskey and Gudjonsson starting up top last match.
Yeah. What a blast from the past, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have said they might have been past it still like a decade ago, but, you know, go figure.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But, you know, so we're left with, you know, being probably co-favorites alongside Manchester United and maybe Liverpool if either of them can make it through the next round. And it looks good, you know, like you said, there's a chance to repeat, which I think would be, you know, would be a huge – I think that would make a big statement, you know, even though we will not have won the league either of those two seasons. You know, it's something to build upon, you know, silverware another year in a row, you know, setting us up for a title run next season. You know, you're kind of clutching at straws, but I mean, but it does bode well for the future of the club. And, you know, this looks something, you know, very feasible. You know, you beat Middlesbrough at home and we'll be in what, the quarterfinals? Are we in the round of 16 right now? We're in the round of 16,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd be in the quarterfinals with at most two other powerhouses left in the field. You know, good chance you probably have to go through one of those two to win the title. So, you know, it's a decent chance. Our chances have been significantly helped by the weekend's results. And I can't wait to see us set it straight against Middlesbrough in a few weeks. But let's move on to a little bit of the transfer news and action, because this is still silly season. It is January. And Arsenal have done something a little bit on Arsenal and actually getting a transfer done. And maybe not as early as we would have wanted that defender to be signed, but it seems as though it's not been announced yet, that Arsenal have completed the deal for Gabriel Paulista, a player that is not exactly what many expected for us to come in this window. Many people were thinking that Arsenal would, you know, loan a defender, a 30-year-old, someone who's of a certain level, of a certain caliber, but experienced and maybe not going for the full-fledged new center back for the future. But James, what do you think about this development? Well, let's go to you, Joseph.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be, I've never seen him play that I know of. I mean, he looks fine. I mean, he's 6'2". He's looks like he'll need about, you know, 6 to 8 months in to put some, you know, a little bit more bulk on him, you know, Koscielny style. And, you know, hopefully maybe sometime next year he might be a starter, like on a regular basis for Per or something. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen him play, but, you know, I assume he's part of a long-term plan if he's, you know, 24 years old.
Well, you know, I've watched him play a few times for Villarreal. You know, and I've watched the YouTube compilation, so therefore I'm obviously...
You're way more educated on him than I am, for sure.
No, but he looks like a tidy defender. He looks like a guy who, you know, who really can make a difference and build into someone of, you know, someone who could really be a player for us in the future. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what he develops as... And Paulista looks like he's someone that is going to serve us for a while in the future. So, James, your thoughts on the signing of this young Brazilian?
I'm really excited. I mean, look, I'd be lying if I said I'd seen a lot of him, but I have spoken to people who've watched him much more regularly. Everyone speaks really highly of him. He's 24, same age Laurent Koscielny was when he came over. And to be honest, I didn't know a lot about him either. Now, that's no guarantee he's going to be as successful. Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, there's a lot of good ingredients there. This is someone who's having a really good season with Villarreal. And you've got to remember, there are no centre-backs out there. Like, naming a centre-half who we should have signed in this window is really tough. Once you look beyond the obvious guys like Hummels, you know, you find yourself really struggling for names. And look how badly Manchester United need a centre-half, and they're still looking. I think we've done good to get somebody in. We seem to have paid a reasonable price for a player with real potential. And we've got the job done, I think. And before deadline day as well, I wouldn't have predicted it. So we're very satisfied, and I look forward to seeing him play. I think we'll see quite a lot of him, because I just don't think you can rely on Koscielny and Mertesacker to play every single game at the moment.
So when do you think you bled him? Because it's going to be, you know, you think it's probably going to take a couple of weeks to get settled. I mean, does he get his first match in the FA Cup against Middlesbrough?
I think that would be an ideal time.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
We've got
the midweek versus Leicester too, and that's at home. So maybe.
Yeah, I suppose.
Maybe
yeah,
before.
Yeah, that might be a good chance to get him to bleed him his first Premier League action. Certainly viable, and you know, go on.
The great thing about, you know, choosing a center back is that since there aren't really anybody that anyone else can name as a better alternative, we just go, okay. I mean, let's just have to accept it and go forward.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the signing exceeds expectations for many, just because of, you know, people thinking it was a short-term option coming in. And like you said, look, yeah, we signed a lot of players younger than 24, but at center back, you know, if you want a guy who's going to be able to contribute soon, you don't want a 19-year-old center back. You know, we've been doing that with Callum Chambers, but there's just a lot about playing center back that requires just experience and intuition, and some stuff that just takes experience. And the fact that he has some of that, you know, and he's been building on a good season, like you said, you know, it looks like we're getting something a little more ready made, and that's really exciting because he is a guy who looks like he's got a lot to contribute. And it's a job, say, you know, as it stands right now on face value, it's a job well done by Arsene Wenger. You know, he's addressed the biggest glaring need in the squad, and we seem to have a bit of a, one of the problems that has slightly sorted itself out internally. So all said and done, do you guys think we're done in the window, Joseph?
Yeah, we're done. And I think we're close to being done overall in the squad period, to be honest, as we go forward.
You think so?
Yeah, because, I mean, he's got a 24, he's bringing in a 24-year-old center back. He likes the two we already have and Chambers for the future eventually. Right. You know. Right back, you don't see any more right backs. We have plenty. Left back, keeper, I mean, a piece here or there. I know there's a big spot in front of that in that midfield that maybe people would like. But like I said, I think the squad's getting pretty close to being where he wants it, I think.
Yeah, it seems like it's rounding out. I mean, it could be short, maybe a midfielder or a striker. James, do you think that even come summertime, we'd still be shopping for center forwards?
I don't know. I don't think so. I sort of agree with Joseph. I think Wenger's done a lot of the work that he would have wanted to do on the squad in the past 6 months or so. I think he's spent something like £88 million since the start of last summer. I think I saw that figure floating around. And that's a crazy amount of money for Arsenal to spend. You know, that's unthinkable. I think it doubles the most we've ever spent in that kind of period.
Yeah, and, quite the outlier.
Yeah, and I don't think I think the net spend is something like 67 million quid since the end of last season. I don't think we'll see anything like that spent over the next 12 months.
No.
I think we'll see maybe one player come in the summer, you know, one or two players in the sort of maybe, you know, in the higher bracket, in the sort of £20 million bracket. But I don't think there's going to be massive sort of work done on the squad because I think I don't know. I think he's got Giroud, who he really, really likes. He's got Welbeck. If Akpom signs a new deal, he'll expect to be part of the conversation.
Right.
So I think, I don't know, in terms of if Coquelin stays, I think we'll probably see another defensive midfielder maybe come in because I think Flamini will go. But other than that, I'm not sure. I think it's commendable, really, how much work we've done on squad. It's a shame we didn't get it all done last summer.
Right.
I think we clearly needed to do more then.
Yeah.
But at least we've corrected the errors in January, albeit with an internal solution in Coquelin.
You know, and sometimes those are the best. You know, I'm happy to see him come through, and that's certainly a cheaper option. I'm sure Arsene can appreciate those economics.
So, I would be surprised if the three that got loaned out this January aren't sold in the summer.
Yeah.
If he has any ideas for, you know, if he has another attacking player in his sights somewhere that just might come up, that I wouldn't be surprised if all three of those are sold for some profit this summer.
Yeah, quite likely. And shout out to Joseph because we finally got Joel Campbell out. He's been saying since what, last year, that he would never kick a ball for Arsenal. So he's been I wouldn't say unhappily watching him play that, but you know,
it's just that I'm just going by what I've seen. It's just that I didn't ever think that Wenger rated him. And I always thought he was here to raise his profile for himself and for us to cash in on him someday. So,
well, we're going to have to, it'll be a little, take us a little bit to cash in on. What do we pay for him? Like 10, 12 million? Something like that.
I don't think it was that
I don't think it was that high. I don't think it was that high.
No, I think it was lower than that.
I think it was low because at the time he was, you know, he was a kid, and I think we got him pretty cheap, to be honest.
Yeah, we got him right as he was breaking out of Costa Rica.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
He had played for him in the Olympics, and then I think he was playing in the Copa America in the same summer. And so we kind of got him that summer when his profile was rising a lot.
Yeah, Saprissa was his club, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, yep.
But that's the one. Because I remember following that crazy deal, you know, Dick Law.
spending the saga
days on end trying to bring him over.
At the time, it was reported for like a million, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll cash in on it quite well.
Okay.
Well, so we will, yeah. Whether we'll ever get what we might have got after the World Cup for him, I don't know. I think that's when his stock was kind of at its
peak, really.
I agree with you there.
I think we had the pressure of like Arsenal need to sign a striker. Well, here's a possible internal solution, you know, until, you know, maybe if that Welbeck deal's done earlier, maybe Campbell would have been gone in the summer, right? There's a decent chance that could have happened.
I mean, I think, yeah, Welbeck, I don't think Welbeck would ever have come without the injury to Giroud. So in some ways, that's the signing that probably killed Joel Campbell's chances at Arsenal, you know?
Yeah, most likely. All right, well, let's move on to the weekend. We have we got a nice fixture here. I mean, hopefully it'll be better than the last time we played Villa at home. But Joseph, what are your thoughts on Villa at the weekend? You feeling pretty good?
I feel fine. But, you know, I mean, they've got some players returning. I mean, I think they played decent at the weekend. I don't know. If we can put in anywhere near a performance as he did in City, but at home, then I don't think there'll be a problem, really. I mean, I just think we're going to have a ton of options to begin with on the pitch at the start, and we're going to have plenty of options coming off the bench. And
a welcome sight, right? That nice full bench.
We've only had to wait, you know, in 6 months for it to happen. So
eons.
No time like the present. So I don't think it's going to be easy, but you know, I see, you know, a good comfortable 2-0 at home.
Okay. Goal scorers?
Goal scorers, Giroud and Cazorla.
Okay. I'm down with that. I'll be happy to see that. James, what are your thoughts? I mean, we've got a Villa team that's been, let's say, not very potent in front of goal. They did get quite the goal by their new signing, Carlos Gil. Nice little
that was a great goal.
Yeah. I mean, he might spark a bit of life into them. They've offered really nothing in the Premier League this year. I would love to see them get relegated. I think that's so boring to watch.
They have been for a long time too.
Yeah, they really just like, I don't know what they contribute. There was a kind of spell a few years ago where it seemed like they had quite a young, exciting team, and
right.
I could kind of get on board with that, but it just hasn't come to fruition at all. We really ought to beat this Aston Villa team, and I think we will. I think we'll beat them 2-3, I would say, and I would go Alexis and Giroud to share the goals in some variation or other.
In one fashion or another. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, this is a game we should win. I don't think it'll be interesting because it's going to be very different to City. You know, it's a game where we'll control the majority of possession and have to be patient and break them down. Because if they can do anything, Villa, they're a little bit stubborn at the back. But I think it's important to win because we've got Spurs coming up after that.
Yeah.
And then the games really come thick and fast. So if we can take some real momentum into the North London derby, that'd be great. So yeah, hopefully we get the 3 points.
Yeah, cruising into there on a high would be quite nice. And I think it's exactly what the doctor ordered this time around. You know, I don't see Villa doing much. It was funny because remember when we beat Villa, they were what, second or third in the league? I remember they had that little blip at the beginning of the season where I was like, oh, look at Villa, right? I think they had half the victories after the entire season in the opening couple of weeks. And they were sitting in second or third when we played them the first time around. So that I always felt like that result was discredited because, well, Villa just are shit now. But they were doing quite well at the moment. And we could be the ones who turn the tide on that. So I agree with you. I'd love to see him go down. not that I love Birmingham or anything, but I have a few friends who are Birmingham supporters. So I know that would make them happy. So all right with that. I do see us getting I guess I'll have to go slightly different from your guys' score lines. I'm not that confident about the clean sheets from us. So I'll go 3-1.
Espina gives a goal up and he finally gets dropped because he
didn't. I think he'll still keep his place after conceding a goal because we'll give a gilt edge. He'll face one of those chances that Chesney faces where he's got no chance. and must be rolled into the corner.
We like to make a mistake right in front of goal. That's what we
yeah. That's we do. present the opportunity at the most opportune moment. So
yeah,
so we'll do that. And you know, I like James' prediction of Alexis and Giroud, but
it's already taken.
I know it is already taken.
It's already taken.
All right, Coquelin's going to find his shooting boots. How about that, damn, motherfucker? Alexis Brace and Coquelin getting a goal scoring.
He's going to go nuts and rip off his shirt like the Hulk or something if that happens.
He might. He's starting to, you know, his hair is starting to prop up kind of high. I don't know. It'll turn into a Mr. T. Well, Frimpong reborn.
His confidence has him looking about 6'2" right now.
The hair just keeps getting longer. You know, it was funny because that was the youth team's double pivot for a while, wasn't it? It was Coquelin and Frimpong back in the day.
Yeah. A
couple seasons back.
Whenever I get sort of too excited about Coquelin, I always remember my brief excitement about
Daniel Frimpong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Talk of an England call-up for Emmanuel Frimpong.
our team really wasn't quite built, was it?
No. Not at that time.
No, not at the moment.
See, Arsene's come a long way. People just remember a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Dear Lord. Yeah, then the question's raised, like, what, did we have to wait this long?
Yes. I don't know.
Exasperated sighs. Whenever Joseph breaks down something like that, and I know he's 100% right, all I can do is just sigh. And just, the grim reality. He loves fucking shooting me down from high up in the clouds. You bastard.
Yeah, that's my thing.
It is. Well, but you know, we have a lot of nice things on the horizon. We have the league coming back at the weekend. We have a derby against Tottenham. You know, a lot of exciting things. And the Champions League comes back in not too long. So yeah,
end of the month. So it should be a fun month.
End of the month? Mid-February, right?
Late 25th. So it's the end of February.
25th, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be good.
But another good draw. Fortune's favoring us.
It is. You know?
It's a little scary, but we'll be very happy with it.
No, fuck that. I will be fucking livid if we do not get through against Monaco. We have not had – look, as far as it goes, this is – we've not had as powder puff of a draw as this in a long, long time. I know
since PSV, where we lost.
Oh, God. Yeah. What year was that? That was –
first year at the Emirates, I think.
Was it? Was it 07?
Alex scored, didn't they, for them or something? I don't know.
Right. The pile driver.
Oh, yeah. That freaking pile driver shot from, like, I don't know, space.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can absolutely cunt a ball, that Alex. He's not good for much else.
But no. But he's got that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that return will be exciting. I can't wait, you know. And, you know, things are on the up and up. We could go into March. You know,
we're getting way ahead of it. Can we get through January? Oh, wait, we're done with January.
We'll be all right. We'll be all right. I'm not too worried about it. We'll be good. But, you know, we could go into March with still in the Champions League and still cruising the FA Cup. So there's still a lot to be played for this season. And it's very exciting. Well, thank you so much, James, for joining us. You can find James this weekend up in Santa Barbara. Are you going to make it to the pub for the match?
I hope so, although that kickoff time really intimidates me.
All right. Well, maybe.
A lot depends on the night before.
Okay.
But possibly, well, yeah. Follow my Twitter. I'll tweet if I'm going to be there.
Yeah. So Santa Barbara Gooners, Gaucho Gooner, all y'all, hit up James next weekend. He'll be in Santa Barbara. Show him a good time the way Gauchos do. And either keep him up all night or just make sure he gets his ass down to the pub in the morning. I would say the press room's your best bet. Hang out with Raph. He's a mank, but he's all right. He's a decent man.
But
they will be open for the matches bright and early, so get there if you can.
Isn't there some patio furniture that might be available for him up there that you know about?
He's got jokes. Well, if you need a place to sleep up there, I know some great places.
Yeah? Okay, good to know.
Public and private. So sure. There's many a story. I lived there for a while, so... There's much to be said. So anyways, you can follow these fine fellows on Twitter. You can follow James at Gunnerblog. Follow Joseph at I Hate Your Club. And it was a pleasure, as always, gentlemen. And hope you have a great result at the weekend.
Cool. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.